Welcome back to the Turley Frequency with host Kevin Turley. The phone lines are open, so call now at 888-928-0881. That's 888-928-0881. And share with us your thoughts and prayer intentions as we navigate this complicated world together. And now, your host of the Turley Frequency, Kevin Turley.
Yes, welcome back, and it's great to have your company on this Friday morning. We've just been pretty serious stuff we've just been discussing, the whole spiritual warfare, and now we're going to engage in that warfare because we are a little prayer warrior army here on Archangel Radio at this time when we pray the Divine Mercy Chaplet. And each day I'm accompanied in this media apostolate by a prayer warrior, somebody who's given up their time, their energies, come into the studio or down the line, and they pray for you live on air with me. So let's find out today who is our prayer warrior.
You know him and you love him. In the studio with us today, Archangel Radio's esteemed head producer, Mike Romano.
You know me. Mr. Romano, welcome to your own radio station.
You definitely know me. I don't know about love me, but definitely know me.
How are things in the Romano Empire at the moment?
They're copacetic. So everything's well. I can't complain.
That's good. And I don't know if you've just been listening to our discussion about spiritual warfare, because I know you've touched on things like that on LA Catholic Morning with Dan Burke, haven't you?
We have. As a matter of fact, it's so funny you mention that, because I just got an offer in from Tan Publishing to narrate a book called Spiritual Warfare and Divine Mercy by Father Ken Garaci. So looking forward to getting started on that that audio book. Well, maybe we'll have him on the show and we can discuss it further.
if people are going down the highway and they're listening to spiritual warfare audiobooks, there's a good chance they might just be listening to your voice, Mike.
Maybe. There's a lot of them out there. There's a good chance too that I probably narrated it.
Divine Mercy and Spiritual Warfare, that's right up our street here on
Absolutely.
This show, that's for sure. So listen, if anybody's just tuned in wondering what's this all about, well, it's Divine Mercy time here on Archangel Radio. We pray the Divine Mercy Chaplet for the next 30 minutes or so. And Mike and I will be praying that chaplet, which is 5 decades, but you can have one of those decades prayed for your intentions. And there's 2 ways you can contact the show. You can phone us. Reed will pick up the phone. You can come on air, or you can be anonymous, 888-928-0881. Or you can text me directly on 251-928-2111, and I will pick up your text. And we will pray for you this morning. And I say this every single day, but what have you got to lose? And you never know what you might gain. Okay, so I presume you've got your rosary beads with you, Mike?
I do. Somewhere.
I don't think you go anywhere without them, do you?
No, I don't. I try to keep them in my pocket. It's so funny that there's some days, I try to keep one in each pant pocket, but yesterday I happened to be praying the rosary with our rosary group and wore the wrong pants and did not have a rosary, but thankfully our group had one. But I try to do my best to stay armed and dangerous.
I think, you're in good company.
In a good way.
Absolutely. But a lot of the saints have, the church, it's a sacramental. Churches have said that this is a good thing to have a blessed object around you. And a rosary is not only a very good blessed object, but it's also a statement of intent that we're going to pray and we're going to draw closer to Christ through this prayer. So today we will be praying the Divine Mercy Chaplet. Okay, Mike, well, I guess we better start.
Amen. All right,
in the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen. You expired, Jesus, but the source of life gushed forth for souls, and the ocean of mercy opened up for the whole world. O font of life, unfathomable divine mercy, envelop the whole world and empty yourself out upon us. O blood and water, which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus as a fount of mercy for us,
I trust in you.
O blood and water, which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus as a fount of mercy for us,
I trust in you.
O blood and water, which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus as a fount of mercy for us,
I trust in you.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven.
Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
And I believe in God, the Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell, and on the third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there he will come to judge the living and the dead.
I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting. Amen.
That is great, Mike. We are up and running. So for this first decade, who or what would you like us to pray for?
Yes, I'd like to first pray for, again, the repose of the soul of Ellen's dad, John Taylor. Pray for Ellen, for her safe return to work. I pray that she's had a restful time, a fruitful vacation, and I also pray for her mom, that she will be, you know, I know she'll be cared for and loved by Ellen, and I pray for those who will be helping Ellen take care of her mom. I know that's a tough task, and so. I also like to pray for those in Catholic radio, all of my friends, a friend of mine, Rich Jesse, his wife was she got strep throat this week, but he said she's recovering, and his girls also got strep throat, so I pray for them, for their recovery. So we'll start that off for the first intention there.
Okay, that's fantastic. So yes, we'll pray for Ellen. If you're listening, Ellen, we're remembering you, hoping you're having a very restful time, but we also pray for your mother, and we pray for the repose of your soul, for Mr. Taylor. And Rich Jesse, yes, we'll pray for him. And what's his wife's Christian name, Mike?
Yes, Laura.
Laura, we'll pray for Laura as well. Pray that her throat is, just healed.
Yeah,
that's
healed.
It. Just exactly. Pray for the healing of that. And as a voice artist, you will know how important it is to keep your throat in good condition, Mike.
Yeah, absolutely. Yes, I do. And you know, she's in real estate, and so and also takes care of her three little ones. So it's Mama's got to be healthy.
That's right. That's right. If Mama's healthy, everybody else is healthy.
Absolutely.
That's the way it works in most houses. Okay. Well, let's lift this up and let's pray for Ellen and everybody that's working in Catholic radio as well. It's a very important time for Catholic radio for all the reasons we know. You probably know about our adventures in consecration that may be coming up in the coming weeks, Mike.
Yes. I do.
So. that will be a very interesting experiment in the radio, what happens. We'll probably have some massive blowout on all the technology because somebody won't want this to take place, so we'll be off air for months as a rate, and it'll all be my fault.
Hey, we were able to but keep anyway, Dan Snyder on the line, so that worked pretty well.
Yeah, we managed to get through that unscathed, which was pretty much a miracle. I put that down to Dan's prayers. Okay, so we lift all of this up on this first decade. Amen. As we say. Eternal Father, I offer you the body and blood, the soul and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Thank you very much, Mike. Now we have a call, believe it or not. Isn't that right, Reed? We have a call?
I think, yes, we do, Kevin.
Okay, and I think it's an international call from what I've just seen on the screen. Hello, who's on the line to the Turley Frequency?
Hello. Hi, Kevin. It's me, Amal.
Dr. Amal, our good friend calling from Belgium. You're very, very welcome to this to the Divine Mercy segment. First of all, in case anybody didn't hear the show yesterday, I said on air that I was really shocked when I got news yesterday that Dr. Amal had been sacked from her job in the hospital for reasons that we probably can't go into on air, but I can assure you that it was nothing fault on the basis with Amal, but with her employers. But that's a whole different story. So it's a bit shocking, and the only thing I can say is their loss is somebody else's gain, Dr. Amal.
Yeah, exactly. You know, like, I think that it is it's a shame, but anyway, you know, like, I think that basically what I've told them, you know, I can work with idiots but not led by idiots, so, you know, that's in a way, you know, there were many great people there, but I think that's, you know, sometimes you have just to decide, and I'm happy that they sacked me because that's what I was looking for instead of resigning myself, so, you know.
Okay.
So this will give you more time to really to focus what matters now.
Okay.
Yeah, so thank you for the prayers yesterday.
So what can we pray for? Obviously, we're going to pray for your future professional plans, whatever God has in store for you. That's a given. But is there anybody else, maybe members of your family or your friends, that you'd like us to pray for in this second decade?
Yes, please. Yes. I mean, always for my mum and for my aunties in Canada, Margaret, and the ones here in Belgium, Sabri and Leila, for my three sisters, their children. And also, I'd like to pray for a very, very good friend, you know, a dear friend of mine in Cambridge, and her husband, Claire and Joe. And I hope to be able to see their children, I mean, the family, I mean, Claire and Joe and their children next week in Cambridge. So I'm very much looking forward to it. And I would like to pray for all the intentions and really for all the plans that God has for their gorgeous children, because I'm sure that God will be calling some of their children, you know. So I'm just praying for that. And for all the people that I'm going to meet next week. So hopefully, you know, like, I'll be able to pray for them, and that, you know, I'm attending a conference, so that no meeting with any person would be just for nothing, that really that you can bring that presence of God.
Yes.
And that light of God to them. So,
absolutely. Well, I'm glad to say you don't sound too downhearted this morning.
No, I'm not.
You sound relieved.
I just feel sorry for my patients. You know, like, I mean, I have great colleagues and things, but I think that many people know. I mean, I didn't know about toxic places. You know, I was trying last year to, I mean, like I have a coachee and I was trying to coach him and he was telling me how difficult it was and I just couldn't imagine anyone could be as, you know, toxic as, you know, what he was describing. And now I have experience. So if anyone is, you know, suffering from any toxicity in their workplace, to just get in touch. We can talk about it. At least I have no experience. But I pray for, you know, for all these people. You know, I pray for them. May God forgive them and forgive me as well for anything that I've done wrong. But, you know, we move on.
Well, that's wonderful. So that's the spirit, Amal. And we'll take all of this to this decade now. We'll pray for your mom, your aunties, your sisters, all the children you mentioned, for Claire and Joe and their families, and for God's wonderful will to be done in your life professionally. So do you want to stay on the line and join Mike and I in this decade?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
Okay.
Sure.
Eternal Father, I offer you the body and blood, the soul and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those
and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Thank you very much, Dr. Amal. We're going to say goodbye now because there's a little bit of a delay on your line, but thank you so much for calling in and please keep in touch.
Thank you.
Okay, that was Dr. Amal calling us from Belgium, which is wonderful. Okay, for this third decade then, Mike, it's back to you. Who or what would you like us to pray for?
Yes, I have a friend from Pakistan. His name is Amir Sohel, and he and his Catholic Christian community are under threat of attack from a Muslim terrorist organization named Lashkar Jangwi. And so anyway, I just pray for the safety of his family and for the safety of the Pakistani people in his the Catholic Christian Pakistanis in his community.
Absolutely, and we'll pray for them and all the Christians who live in a state of siege, essentially, in Pakistan. They're a little bit beleaguered there, so we pray for this particular community. We pray for all Christians in Pakistan today.
Amen.
Eternal Father, I offer you the body and blood, the soul and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Thank you very much, Mike. Now, we've had a text in from Mary, one of our regular prayer warriors. Good morning to you, Mary and Ken. And Mary is asking for prayers for Danita Prince, who is going through radiation and chemo at this time. And Mary's also asking for continued prayers for Mia to be able to take on a parenting role for her sister, Sila. You may remember a few weeks ago we prayed for Tanya, who was sick, and Tanya unfortunately died and left two little orphans, Mia and Sila. And Mia is the older one, and she is trying to look after her little sister, Sila, at the moment. And we sort of adopted them and asked everybody that listens to pray for these two children who are alone in the world at the moment. So let's really lift them up, and let's lift Danita up as well. And let's ask and in the Lord's mercy that the radiation and the chemo goes well, and that Danita will soon be returned to health, if indeed that is God's will.
Amen.
Eternal Father, I offer you the body and blood, the soul and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ,
in atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Thank you, Mike. So I'm going to come back to you in a moment, Mike. Just before I do, I'm going to turn to Reed. Reed, any intentions for us to pray for this morning?
Yes, Kevin. I would love to pray for anybody out there who is desperate, that they, you know, just have the patience and the grace of God with them, and that they don't turn to sin. Due to, you know, the way they're feeling.
Okay. So anybody listening who's feeling a little bit desperate, we're praying for you now that you feel less desperate. The Prince of Peace comes into your life and you feel much more at ease. Just had a text in from our good friend Luke out in Fairhope. Good morning to you, Luke. Luke's asking for continued prayers that his UPS contract negotiations get completed and satisfied to avoid a strike. Well, we'll definitely pray for that, Luke. We'll pray for you and all your co-workers, that between yourselves and the management, it will all work out and somehow everything will sort itself out. And what about you then, Mike? Final word on proceedings this week.
Yes, I'd like to pray for Shannon's dad. Pray for his recovery from the brain tumor that prayerfully, thankfully, was removed. I know he's got a long road ahead there, and I pray for her mom and all of her family that are going to be, you know, stepping in to help out. So pray for them and pray for Shannon as she deals with that as well. I also pray for my mom and dad. I pray for my sister Ashley, my brother BC and his family, Harper Ann, Benny, Jenny, my sister-in-law. I pray for my wife Jennifer, that she'll continue to she'll continue to remain in remission. The cancer will remain in remission, and pray for her, just her overall emotional, spiritual well-being. I pray for my kids as well, Donnie, Jordan, and Stella, that they will remain in Christ all the days of their lives, and I pray for at least I pray for their future spouses. That they will and their friends, too, that they will encounter along the way. And we talked this morning about the wheat and the weeds, and it's so easy to have bad influences. You know, my grandmother used to say, my mother still reminds me, you know, birds of a feather flock together.
That's right.
So I just pray that they will surround themselves with good, holy Christian people of the faith, and that they will remain close to Christ all the days of their lives, and persevere, persist until the end. I constantly teach to my kids persistence, persistence, persistence in everything.
Absolutely.
You do, especially in the prayer life. So,
amen. Amen to all of that, Mike. That's a wonderful prayer. And you always pray for your children and
Absolutely.
Your wife, and we're very, very happy to do so.
Thank you.
I've just had a text from our executive producer, Michelle, and she's told us that Tony Bennett has died, the singer and performer. So let's also include him and all the faithful departed. He was a Catholic, so let's include him and all the faithful departed in this fifth and final decade.
Amen.
Eternal Father, I offer you the body and blood, the soul and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, Holy Mighty One, Holy Immortal One.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, Holy Mighty One, Holy Immortal One.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, Holy Mighty One, Holy Immortal One.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Eternal God, in whom mercy is endless and the treasury of compassion inexhaustible, look kindly upon us and increase your mercy in us, that in difficult moments we might not despair nor become despondent, but with great confidence submit ourselves to your holy will, which is love and mercy itself. O my Jesus,
I trust in you.
O my Jesus,
I trust in you.
O my Jesus,
I trust in you.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you very much, Mike, for coming in and praying with us here today.
Thank you for the opportunity. Glad to do it.
Hope you have a blessed Friday and a wonderful weekend with your family.
Likewise, Kevin.
Thank you. That was Mr. Mike Romano, producer here at Archangel Radio. Now, when we come back, we will be speaking to Michelle Wooten, who is an astronomer, and she will be helping us look heavenward and working out what is happening in the skies above Alabama. Stay tuned to the Turley Frequency here live and exclusive on Archangel Radio.
I saw Lon Chaney walking with the Queen.
Welcome back to the Turley Frequency, here live and exclusive on Archangel Radio. I'm your host, Kevin Turley, in this final portion of the show this week. It's been so good having your company throughout this week. It's been really an eye-opener on all sorts of ways. And now we're going to open our eyes even wider, this time to look heavenward. No, not in prayer. We just did that with the Divine Mercy Chaplet. And no, we're not looking for UFOs either. Bill Murphy was on last week. Today we look to the heavens to find out what we can see in the stars, in the skies above. And we're not talking astrology, we're talking the proper science of astronomy. And I'm delighted to say we are joined by someone who is fast becoming our resident astronomer, Michelle Wooten, from the University of Alabama at Birmingham, So let's go Star Trekking with Michelle. Hello, Michelle. Welcome back. Did you like our little intro music there?
I absolutely did. Thank you for introducing me with that.
I know it's. I mean, you're probably far too young to remember the original Star Trek, but I was glued to it as a kid, and there's a whole generation of us that, you know, stars, astronomy, planets. It was more to do with Star Trek than it was to do with NASA. I'm sure you've met people like me.
Oh, and I've met myself. I've watched all of the original series, TV shows, and movies. I was stuck on them as well.
What do you think is, I mean, in all seriousness, so what do you think is the fascination? I mean, you are an astronomer by profession. That's part of what you do. It's also a hobby, I guess, and a great passion and a love. We've spoken before. But what, I mean, even somebody like me who has a passing interest in it, there is something about just gazing into the cosmos, which is awe-inspiring. Is that it in a nutshell?
I think for a lot of people it is. You know, I'm torn because I understand the awe that is present when you're under a beautiful night sky in the dark. The darkness of the sky is rapidly decreasing, so I don't know if that's true for many people in our younger generation. A lot of them have not seen the Milky Way. But I do think getting up into space is exciting for a lot of people. And even territorializing space. So, you know, embarking on questions like who owns Mars and the moon and how far can we actually get into space? And to some people, it's a fascination with, well, if we can't survive on this planet much longer, what else can we do? How else can we survive outside this planet? So I think for different people, it's different strokes.
Absolutely. Though I can remember, I mean, yesterday, as you know, was the anniversary of the first moon landing, lunar landing on the moon. But the moon's surface never looked that inviting. It never looked like a place I'd even want to go for a vacation, never mind to live permanently.
I totally agree with you. And I'm glad that you mentioned that. I teach hundreds of students astronomy every semester. And that is definitely a question that I sneak in there is, you know, we're trying to get to Mars. And after we get back to the moon, would you really want to live on the Mars? And so it's kind of interesting because I see students express the excitement of going there, but then saying also like, no, I love planet Earth. It has, you know, a lot of greenery and water, and Mars seems like a horrible place to live. But I don't think if you're not asked that question, you don't really come to terms with the greatness of planet Earth. Yeah.
Now, just before we do talk about what we're supposed to be talking about, which is the skies above Alabama, just you've made me wonder in my mind, Michelle, because I totally agree with you and your students. I mean, I've no interest in living on Mars, the moon, or anywhere else for that matter. But there is a sort of fascination with going into space. I mean, would you be one of those people if Elon Musk came to you tomorrow and said, "Hey, Michelle, I've got a spare seat on my rocket. Would you take him up on it?"
Kevin, you've asked the wrong person. I, as a, you know, a high schooler, I really dreamed of going up into space. I even like asked Star Trek people to like beam me up in my head, you know, just get me off of this planet. But these days, that's the last thing I want to do. I really love to like be, you know, I'm like actually taking gymnastics now at 40. I love to move. I love to get around. I love exploring planet Earth. There's so much to see that I'll never get to see it all in my lifetime. So, No, I actually personally don't care about me going to space, and I don't actually care about other humans going into space. And I do think I am a rare bird in that circumstance. I do have some colleagues who agree with me. They're like, you know, it's great if we get robots up into space to still do all the scientific analysis and have like the peaceful exploration of space. But what's all this about getting humans into space? So I'm not sure that many astronomers or people in the space industry would agree with me.
Well, I agree with you. I mean, I've got absolutely no. I mean, and also in a slightly more somber and serious point, we had the submersible going down to the Titanic, which was a kind of similar kind of venture into the unknown, and that ended badly. I mean, I just wonder if we've been very, very lucky in all of our space adventures over the last 50 odd years, that the number of fatalities has been few and far between, really. And I just wonder if we're, you know, if one spaceship sort of got lost in space, that might sober everybody up. But anyway, let's leave everybody flying around in orbit out there for the moment. Michelle, we're on planet Earth, but we're looking to the skies. Now, it's the month of July. It's the summertime in Alabama. So I'm assuming the skies are relatively clear in terms of visibility to see planets and such like.
I'm sad to say that that's unfortunately not the case. So there's been a lot of Canadian smoke obscuring our view of the night sky. And actually, with all the extra particulates in the atmosphere, it brightens the night sky. So I think the local Birmingham Astronomical Society, there were a few members that went up to their favorite observing site last night because it was like one clear night-ish that was kind of free from the smoke, but they knew it was rapidly coming back. So I wish it was clearer. I've heard people on the coast express a lot of frustration, including around all over the southeast, you know. However, there are still some delightful bright stars to see. And usually when there's rain, some of that smoke can come down and get washed down onto the ground. So it does, especially on the Gulf, where Mobile is, you know, there's much more rainstorms. And so I would say on the next clear night, you please go out because summertime is the best time to look at the skies. And so could I just share some of the wonderful features in the night sky tonight and this week in Mobile area?
Absolutely, Michelle. That would be a complete, yeah, absolutely. Take it away.
Okay. So if you can get to a dark place that is away from city lights, I'm going to Dauphin Island next month, and every time I go there, I can see the Milky Way, and it's breathtaking. And people get confused about is the Milky Way a cloud or not, because they're not used to seeing it. But what I want to let you know is in this next month, the Milky Way will pretty much go straight out of the northern horizon, pass overhead, and also connect to the southern horizon. So it's basically like in a beautiful, easy to see part of the sky, just, you know, one big line across the sky. And it'll look like clouds, but it's actually the disk of our Milky Way galaxy. And
so
that's
so
the first
Michelle,
thing I
just,
want
just,
to look at.
Just,
yeah.
Just for the amateur astronomer, somebody like me who's going out, look, you can see this with the naked eye, first of all. Is that correct?
That's correct. Under a dark sky, you would not be able to see it from a city.
Okay, but you'd be able to see it. But in terms of what it looks like, what the Milky Way looks like, I know this is really difficult to do on radio, but give us a kind of an idea of what you're looking for. It's obviously not a planet,
yes.
Right?
That's right. It'll look like a faint, fuzzy band of light, and the lights will be somewhat patchy. So it actually does look like someone spilled milk across the sky, but it'll be kind of faint and fuzzy.
That's nice. I like that. Is that why it's called the Milky Way?
Yes. The Milky Way comes from the, I think, Greek word galactos, which I guess has a reference to milk.
Wow. Yeah. I never knew that. That's incredible. So some Greek 2,000, 3,000 years ago was looking up at the sky and said, that looks like the jug of milk I just splashed over the floor.
Yeah, I'm not sure they had cow's milk, but yeah, whatever kind of milk that they've seen, for sure. Yeah.
Yeah, goat's milk probably. Okay, so the Milky Way can be seen. That's wonderful. What else?
Okay, yeah, so I did start with a sort of object that you could see under a dark sky. But if you're really experiencing a lot of that smoke and the brightening of the sky around you, there are some great bright stars to look for. So I'm going to start talking about a pattern of stars that's very famous. It's in the northwest part of the sky this time of year, in the relatively early evening. So before I get into this, let me just caveat by reminding folks that during the summertime, the days are longer. So if you want to experience true night, you have to wait a little bit longer. And
that's
so
true.
Right now, yeah, tonight astronomical twilight won't be until about 9:30 p.m. Just in case folks are really interested in geeking out here, there's various forms of twilight. There's civil twilight when the sun is like 6 degrees below the horizon and still scattering some light in the atmosphere. And then there's nautical twilight at 12 degrees below the horizon. And then astronomical twilight is when the sun is 18 degrees below the horizon. So it's truly dark. There's no more effect of the sun on Earth's atmosphere. And so that's true night. Okay. So like I said, around 9:30, 10, there's going to be this great pattern of stars that you may have heard of before. It's called the Big Dipper. That's the name of the asterism.
Wow.
It looks like a giant handle in the sky. And when I say it's an asterism, that's saying that it's a common pattern, a famous name for a common pattern of stars that people see easily. But that Big Dipper asterism is part of the constellation Ursa Major, which is like was a giant bear to the Greeks and the Romans.
Michelle, I'm just going to pause you there because I am your perfect student because I know next to nothing about any of this. So you're really helping me here. But just help me out a little bit more. So I'm looking up at the sky. It's a clear night. It's a good visibility in terms of this. I'm looking in the northwest. What again am I looking for? I'm looking for something. When you say a handle, what is this? Is this a conjunction of a series of lights or stars? Or what is it that the Big Dipper is in essence in astronomical terms?
Yes, thank you for asking for clarification. So the Big Dipper is a set of seven stars that are in the shape of a handle. And it looks like a giant handle. Yeah.
So is it a bit, it's a bit like the plow, that sort of idea, is it?
Yes, that's right.
Okay, gotcha.
So if you didn't know where Northwest was, you could always just look around for the Big Dipper because guess what? It's going to actually help you find North. So I'm going to give you a tool right now. So the handle of the Dipper goes into the dip of the Dipper, which is like the pot. If you draw an imaginary line out of the pot, the next bright star you get to is going to be Polaris, which is also known as the Pole Star or the North Star.
That's right.
And so if you draw an imaginary line down to the horizon from that Polaris star, that is North. And that's how many people have found North. Even astronomers, you know, they have to align their telescopes, and they always use the North Star as like a reference point for where North is.
That's right.
Is
Polaris, is that something which is constantly visible throughout the year, or is it, again, something which is more seasonal?
Oh, what a lovely question. So that star is actually from Alabama, the only, like, one of the few stars that it will be visible the whole year long. And let me just give you something to be surprised or excited about. Maybe something new here today. So that star is where Earth's North Pole points to, and Earth rotates on its axis. So it appears to everyone in the Northern Hemisphere who can see the North Star that all the stars over the course of the night will appear to revolve around the North Star. So the North Star will stay pretty stationary, and all the other stars will appear to rotate around it. Isn't that amazing?
Wow, that is amazing. Is there a lot of mythology around the North Star then?
Well, that's a great question. I do need to study up more on my mythology, but I do know it is part of another constellation, which is Ursa Minor, and that is the Little Bear, and it's also the Little Dipper. So it also, just like there's a Big Dipper, Polaris is part of the Little Dipper, or Ursa Minor, the small bear.
There's a lot of dippers up there, isn't there?
There's only two that I know of, but it's funny because I live in the southern.
But you can reassure me there's no diapers up there at the moment.
No, I don't think those were invented back then. Maybe they were.
Okay, so listen, we're talking the Big Dipper and the Little Dipper, no diapers. And we're talking the very mysterious North Star, which appears to be something which is a constant and upon which everything else revolves. Now, is that an illusion because we're on planet Earth and we're revolving around? Or is it something which is astronomical in its gravity pull? Or how does it work, Michelle?
Yes, I really appreciate your thinking on this. So it is somewhat of an illusion, or I would call it like a perspective based on where you're standing on planet Earth. So get this, just to bring it a little further, if you're in the southern hemisphere, you cannot see that star. It's below the horizon. From your perspective, your horizon just, you know, like the sun goes below the horizon, the North Star will be below your horizon because you're in the southern hemisphere. So the question might come to mind, is there a southern star? Is there the South Star?
Exactly.
And yeah, there actually is not. And that'll tell you that it's really an illusion. There is a spot in the sky in the southern hemisphere, which is where Earth's South Pole points. And indeed, in the southern hemisphere, all the stars appear to revolve around that, like, south spot. But there's no star there.
There's no star there at all?
No. I mean, maybe if you got a giant telescope out, you probably see some, but not to the naked eye.
So we have a North Star upon which everything seems to revolve, but we don't have the equivalent South Star in the southern hemisphere.
That's right.
Wow.
Yeah,
is there a very strong scientific reason for why we are missing our southern star?
Well, I would just say kind of to think in the opposite direction. It's happenstance that our north pole of Earth points at a star. It didn't have to. So if you bring yourself off of Earth's surface and maybe put yourself between the orbit of Earth and Mars, you know, what's going to be a reference point for you out there? There's, it's your, any choice that you want. But so it really is that Earth rotates on an axis that we have this kind of stationary star upon which everything appears to revolve.
You know, the more you're teaching me about this, Michelle, the more mysterious and the more awe-inspiring the whole thing seems to be. Is that your experience too?
Oh, absolutely. you know, there's the new James Webb Space Telescope, and it's unfolding new discoveries of the early universe that we didn't know before. And that's such a lovely thing about being a scientist, is just learning that there's like endless questions to ask. And I guess I really appreciate that about the human experience. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it just seems to be endlessly fascinating. Okay. So far we've got the Milky Way, we've got the Big Dipper, we've got the North Star. Anything else that we can see standing on Dauphin Island, looking out to sea or looking back or whichever way we're looking?
Sure. There's, of course, many things to point out, but one of my favorite things about the summer sky from Alabama in the relatively early evening between 9:30 and 10, you know, I go to bed early, so which is weird for an astronomer, but like I'm thinking about the constellations I can see at that time. So looking south, you know, you've used the Big Dipper to find north, so you look in the opposite direction to find south. There is a constellation of pretty bright stars that looks like a scorpion. It has this lovely like question mark shape, just a lovely trail of stars, and then kind of a hammerhead. And that constellation is called Scorpius. One reason I want to share about it with you right now is that when I was in New Zealand for a year studying abroad, I learned that the Maori of New Zealand, the indigenous population there, actually saw that as Maui's fish hook that pulled New Zealand out of the water and made it a formal place in space. Within the scorpion, there is a very reddish, like noticeably reddish star that is the brightest star in the constellation. In the Greek and Roman mythology, that was called Antares, which means heart of the scorpion. In the Maori culture, it was Rehua, or the god of all stars. So it's kind of fun to know, the different types of constellations. And those like different mappings of the sky are more and more available online, which I'm so excited about. I love sharing new like drawings of the sky based on the indigenous perspective of students. Yeah.
Just on that, Michelle, which website would you direct us to if you were a novice like me, but you were interested in learning more about what was above the skies? Is there a website which will tell us what we can see dependent on where we are in the world?
Okay, so I'm going to share two very briefly. So there's a free downloadable map, sky map, that is good for your month and your location on Earth. They're at skymaps.com.
Skymaps.com.
Okay. That's free downloadable star chart. And then if you want to see how those are going to have the Greek and Roman representations of the night sky on them. If you want to see how other cultures or indigenous perspectives, like what those were, you can go to Figures in the Sky. Mm-hmm. That is the name of a website that is such a beautiful website. There's an artist that actually made artful re-renderings of, like, you know, for Orion. They have like 12 different representations from different cultures of how they saw that set of stars in Orion. So I think they do that for almost every constellation, and it's just remarkable to look at. Figures in the Sky.
Figures in the Sky. And the other one, just remind us what the other one was, the free downloadable?
Skymaps.com.
Skymaps.com. That is fascinating. I will be checking those out. Michelle, believe it or not, we have come to the end of our allotted time. Enough gazing into the skies. I'm afraid it's back to the computers for you and for me. Where can people find out more about you, your work, your writings, but also I know some of your other interests as well as the night sky?
Yeah, I would head over to starryskiessouth.org. That's a collection of people across the Southeast that are dedicated to protecting the night. And there's just some easy solutions to using dark skies friendly lighting that are also much safer than a lot of the lighting that we use. So go there to learn more about us and recommendations for good lighting at night.
That is great. Well, listen, it's been wonderful having you back, Michelle. I hope you don't mind. I think we've christened you now as our resident astronomer, so we'll have you back periodically to look up to the skies and point out what we can see.
Oh, I can't wait, Kevin. Thank you so much for having me.
No, thank you. Have a wonderful weekend, Michelle.
You too. Thank you. Bye.
Okay, that was Michelle Wooten, who is at the Department of Physics up there at the University of Alabama at Birmingham. And we thank her for her time. And whoever the patron saint is of astronomers, we ask them to pray for her and to pray for us.
All right, Kevin, it's been another great week. We looked heavenward today.
I'm just wondering, Reed, do you think the three wise men are the patron saints of astronomers?
Maybe. I've always been pretty fascinated by the wise men and their, you know, obviously their ability to read the signs and then make their way to Bethlehem. But also just, the story of like their travels there and things like that is not really well covered.
Well, I think we'll have to find somebody to come on and tell us all about it, because I'm equally fascinated by it. I think it's a wonderful, wonderful story.
Exactly. Well, what do we have coming up on Monday?
Well, Monday we've got a doubleheader. We have writer, actor, and Catholic convert Sheevan McCulloch. He will be coming in and talking to us. But we also have one of the team behind the hit Hollywood movie, Sound of Freedom.
Wow. I think me and Mike are going to be going to watch that movie. So, we may be able to do it by then, but we'll see. So I'm interested to hear more about it.
Well, I'm interested to hear what you think of it as well. That will be fascinating to see.
Yes, sir.
Okay, well, listen, folks, we've come to the end of the week. I hope you've enjoyed it as much as we have enjoyed it here. I want to thank Reed for all his hard work this week, for Mike, for Michelle, for Sherry, for Shannon, and everybody who's helped the show in whatever way. Of course, I want to thank as well all our wonderful prayer warriors through the weeks, and you 11 people that stood forward and said, yes, let's consecrate this show to the Sacred Heart of Jesus through the Immaculate Heart of Hearing. Okay, listen, if you've enjoyed it, let's do it all again. Same time, same frequency, same me, Monday, bright and early. In the meantime, may St. Joseph watch over you and all those you love. And until we meet again, may God bless you and keep you.